Well, once again, good morning to everyone. Thank you for taking your time to be in this service today of the Lord's.
Remember,
it is all about Him and not about us. So as we begin to gather and come in Jesus' name, let's just bow our heads and humble our hearts, and let's listen to what God has to say throughout this day. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have chosen us, for we know it's impossible for us to choose you. And you have brought us to this day for this purpose, Father, to hear from you. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we as your creation have so many thoughts, so many desires, so much stuff on our plates, Father, that we create because we're just living out of a sinful vessel. But, Lord, we know that you have washed and cleansed us, and, Lord, you purify our souls. So, Father, we ask today that all that we have done that has grieved your spirit, that you please forgive us. And that, Lord, you would let your anointing fall afresh and anew in all that is on this call and all that will listen in. That, Lord, we would receive what you have for us to receive. Blessed be your name. We come in Jesus' name, the matchless one, the one whom you will please with, the one who we know, Lord God, that prays for us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing just that.
Yes.
Lord, we pray, Father, that you would please have your way in this service today. Have your way, Father. Remove all doubt, all fear, all concerns, Lord, that we have. And let our focus be on you and you alone. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here today. Come in, Holy Spirit, and take over every aspect of what will take place today. Because, Lord, we need you. So pour out your spirit on all that is on this call and all that will hear this call. Let your grace and mercy be with us, Lord. Shield and protect us, Lord, and guide us through this valley of life the way that you want us to go. We submit our wills to you and ask that your will be done today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, so I want to go back a little bit because I got some feedback and questions last week. Remember, we're in Colossians, and we skipped over Colossians 1's greeting, which we're actually going to end Colossians with. But we were talking about what he's encouraging us and reminding us, and I'm going to read verse 8 of Colossians 2. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. This is where we're going to keep digging till we make sure we understand. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. And as we talked about last week, what are we saying? We're saying that in Christ, which is now indwelling in you,
yes,
is the same spirit. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is the same. Good morning, Terrell. I'm addressing one of your questions. So in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, everything, the Spirit of God, which was conceived into Jesus in the womb of Mary, was everything that God is. He's the creator of all things. He is all wise. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. And he's able to meet every need. Does that mean that we then have, because we have the Spirit of God within us, those of you who have received the Holy Spirit, does that mean that you have all the power of God in you?
Yes, if his Spirit lives in us, yes.
No.
Does that mean then that you have access then to all the power of God?
I would say yes.
Yes.
Sandra would say yes.
This is the break-off point. I want you to understand this. Because God dwells within you doesn't mean that you can tell the Spirit of God what to do.
True.
The Spirit of God is not subject to your demands.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to really get this clear, because this is the break-off point with New Age teaching.
Mm.
They'll say, well, the God in me sees the God in you, and we're all gods, and we're little gods, but we're all gods because we have the Spirit of God within us. We're all gods. Okay. We are not the one calling the shots.
Amen.
Yes.
Even Jesus embodied and come from heaven, even Jesus had to go before his Father and ask, where do I go today? Guide me this day. Fill me again and afresh this day. He had to go and seek the presence of his Father, because it's not as simple as, well, I have anything I want to do, I can just do it. Why would we have to pray if that were the case? So, yes, the Spirit of God and in the fullness of him is in you, and yet he distributes gifts to us individually. Now, is the Spirit of God in you capable of doing all things?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But capable of doing all things and willing to do all things through you is not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is God we're talking about. It's his Spirit we're talking about. So he is the one who will determine what he's willing to do through you. To one, he gives maybe the gift of healing. To another, he may give the gift of exhortation. Somebody else, he may give the gift of prophecy. He has all these different gifts, and he distributes them accordingly to his will. So the Spirit of God is not subject to our will.
Amen. Amen.
Now, the only way, now someone will say, wait a minute, that's a little contrary to the Spirit is subject to the man. The Spirit is subject to the man in that we can control how he flows through us.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we don't have to. We have the ability to not allow his Spirit to operate through us. We can just quench it.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit can say, stop that, and you can go ahead if you want to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, the Holy Spirit does not do an override. Occasionally, he has.
Hmm.
But most of the time, he doesn't. You don't want to bring his word? Don't. You don't want to pray? Don't. He's urging you to go seek him in his word? You don't. You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as him taking orders from you, it doesn't roll like that. That's not how this goes.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything you say, but I'll do everything you tell me to do. God's not doing what we tell him to do. He's trying to guide us and direct us through his Spirit. That's why we have the Spirit. He's trying to give us a tool to navigate us through this wilderness that we have to make it through. To guide us, not we guide him.
Jungle.
So you're not going to decide, well, if the Spirit of God is in me, I can just go walk on water. Go try it.
Yeah.
Go try it. See how that's working for you.
Right.
If the Holy Spirit has not directed you to do that, even in Peter's case, Jesus called Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter said, if it's you, Lord, can I come out? Jesus said, yes, come out. Otherwise, Peter wouldn't have been doing any of that. It takes his Spirit. So, yes, all of the Godhead, everything complete that God is now in you, which should bring you great comfort and increase your faith. But that doesn't mean, well, then I'm God.
Amen.
Well, then if I'm God, who do I pray to? Myself? He didn't say you're God. He didn't say that. He said that his Spirit is within you.
Mm-hmm.
And that his Spirit is complete. Do I have any other questions on that?
That's interesting because people say, well, if it's not happening for you, it's because you don't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Very good point. Well, if this was so simple that all you have to do is run around decreeing and declaring, can you imagine what the world would be like? I speak a mansion right now in Jesus' name that this hill would be removed and my mansion would be put on it. Can you imagine what mess that would make? No, this isn't about faith. Faith is the substance of things unseen, but it's rooted in God's will.
Amen. Come on now. Amen. Amen.
Otherwise, we would decree and declare, I win the lottery.
Yes. Amen.
I decree and declare I win the lottery and I have a heart attack within 3 years because my heart couldn't take that kind of a jolt. Oops.
So therefore, that's why we say, we pray one thing, but we say God's will be done. So it's good. Even though we're praying for something, we're asking God's will be done because it's rooted in his will, not ours.
Yeah.
Faith.
Yeah.
Now I want to bring something else up, because here we're talking about, well, if everything we pray for, we have to say God's will be done, then what can we believe?
Anticipating that he will do.
If you are praying in his will, let me give an example. How do you know when you're praying in his will? These things may line up with either prayers others have prayed in the Bible and gotten answers to. So you might want to know your Bible, or things that you know are the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm praying that my son be saved, but not my will, but your will be done. Is it God's will that your son be saved?
Amen. Yes, it is.
Yes. Amen.
Of course it is. Of course it is. So what you're releasing now in faith is God is going to do everything he can to reach that person.
Yes, hallelujah.
He's going to do everything he can. Ultimately, the person has a choice, but, you know, God can be quite persuasive.
Amen.
God can be persuasive. He can work extra because you're asking. That's faith in action. So then you begin to trust God with it. You don't get to dictate. The Holy Spirit, his Spirit lives within us. That doesn't make us God. It just means that we have his Spirit communicating on our behalf and leading us and guiding us, not we guiding the Spirit. Okay, I hope this is clear. And a lot of times, it, you know, like Terry brought up, people will tie it to your faith because if you're not getting what you want, well, then your faith gets shattered because if you're God, you should be able to just speak it into existence. Well, you're not God. You're just a vessel. You're a vessel that he has poured his Spirit into. Now, his Spirit's going to operate whatever way he sees fit. Just like the Holy Spirit distributes gifts as he sees fit. Okay, say I have the gift of healing. But I don't have the gift of prophecy. Could I prophesy?
Sure.
Well, you could, but
it's in God's will.
If you prophesy.
Okay. I want you to understand this also. Even though the Holy Spirit distributes gifts, the Holy Spirit at any given time, remember, he's the Godhead complete. He can decide one day to have something come out of your mouth. A prophecy can come out of your mouth.
Yes.
Do you think that the gift of prophecy had been distributed to the donkey that spoke in the Old Testament?
Mm.
In other words, the Spirit of God can use you any way he wants. But usually he uses you within the gifting he's given you. But he can come outside that box anytime he wants to. You could have never prayed for a person in your life and then laid hands on somebody and raised them from the dead. Because the Holy Spirit prompted you to do so, and you just felt, I have to, because that's how he sometimes his prompting is. You lay hands and persons raised from the dead. Does that mean that you have the gift of healing?
No.
That's not one of your particular gifts, but he can use it through you because he's full in all fullness. He can do anything he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He can speak a word of prophecy through a three-year-old. Okay. So any more questions on understanding the Godhead in us? Okay. So then last week we went on with circumcision and people pressing for circumcision. And we've been through that before. We're not going to belabor it. And now we're going to go down to 16. Would you please start there?
Sure. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, a new moon celebration, or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not
okay,
let anyone...
Okay, let's stop there.
Oh,
let's stop
right.
there.
Yes. Sure.
Okay, we're going to pull this apart because if we read over it, we may miss some underlining understanding that's important. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon, or Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So what is he saying here? We're back to what he's been saying earlier, don't let anybody get you trapped into, you need to be worshiping the Sabbath day on Friday, because that's the real Sabbath, starts Friday night to Saturday evening, and don't eat this, don't drink that. He's saying don't get entangled again in this.
Yeah.
Don't get entangled in these laws again, as we was talking about back in verse 11 through. He's saying, remember, all of this was nailed to the cross with Jesus. Our sins were nailed to the cross, and we're no longer under the law. Don't get tangled up in this again. And he even goes as far as to say, festival or new moon, which was very, very big holidays, or Sabbath. So here and here again, it is rested forevermore. We are free to worship any day of the week.
Amen.
Are you going to have your feet held to the fire because you did not? Remember the Sabbath is the fourth commandment of the top ten. But when the Lord says that we are no longer under the law, he means all of them. You're not under the law. And he says, remember that which was only a shadow of things to come. What does he mean by a shadow of things to come? The law was just a shadow of things to come. He was talking about Christ. The law was to begin to get people into a mindset of doing the right thing, let's put it easy. A mindset of worship. If we can just start with one day a week, that'll work. Just do the first day of the week or the last day of the week, whatever. Let's pick a day of the week and let's just make that the day that you concentrate on the things of God. But it was only a shadow of things to come, because now with his Spirit, you can have that mindset every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now that his Spirit is living in you, now that you're forgiven, now that your sins are put away, now that you're a new creature in Christ, what's the need for the Sabbath?
Mm.
Ouch. You don't need to come and consecrate yourself. You come and you worship the Lord and he is on your mind all the time. There's no more. It was a shadow of things to come. But the substance, some translations may say the reality, the completeness of this is in Christ.
Yes.
So he's completed this. Now we have his spirit within us. Any questions before I go on? Okay, go, Sandra, please.
Sure. And I'll stop at the end of 18. Do not let Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind.
Okay. So much in one little verse. So let no one cheat you out of your reward. In other words, you've accepted Christ. He's your Lord and Savior. Don't let people with their fast talking or pious talking or religious talking selves cheat you out of understanding what freedom you have in Christ.
Yes.
These people take delight in false humility. False humility. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody? False humility. What does that look like?
Well, the opposite pretending that they're humble. Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, something pretending. I think of a car who has a convertible look to it, but not really, it's not convertible.
Yeah, or... That was a good analogy. Instead of a person, let's put it in a car. We got that.
It looks like a convertible, but it's not a convertible at all.
That's such a masculine response.
What about a person who does something that appears to look like a good thing, but he's doing it for other reasons that the viewers don't know?
Right.
False humility. Another good example.
Yeah.
Pretending to be pious.
Mm-hmm.
Tara, were you about to say something?
I was.
Okay.
I was just really on the same lines as Terry. We all know about all these the TV preachers, and now there's so much Facebook stuff, all these people saying, you know, talking about how they could help you with this or that, but it's just for, you know, monetary gain or for their own raising themselves up, you know, but it can be really deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
And they carry themselves with often a pious or over-religious air. Mm-hmm. They can't talk like normal people. You know, say, how are you today? How are you today? Praise God. And the Lord be with you. They can't even talk like normal people because they want to give this air of holiness.
Yeah.
False humility, but it can come out in a lot of different ways, sometimes not so obvious. I want to go into this because it's the worship of angels. Where is this coming from? And why is this apostle dealing with this right now?
Hmm.
Because the Colossians were experiencing this.
Yes. Now, there's a book called the Book of Tobit. It's really called, the character of that book is Tobias. Tobias means with God or favor with God, something like that. Tobias in this book that was omitted from the Bible.
Tobias, yeah.
To demonstrate how humble he went around burying the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his demonstration of humility.
Oh, I see.
See how we can have a demonstration of humility, but it might not be what it appears to be. There's people that do good works so that they can talk about these good works, so that people will raise them up.
Yes,
and worship of angels. There are certain books in the Bible that are omitted from the Bible. Enoch is one of them, and it talks about different angels and what their jobs were. I have heard that this is a true story. A person argue with me that they pray to saints, dead people, and they pray to angels because they don't really feel worthy to go to God.
Oh, my.
That is the epitome of false humility.
Wow.
You're going to say you don't feel it's worthy to go to God, so you pray to his creation and insult him instead?
Mm.
That's not humility. That's pride.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow.
Could it also be deception? They've been deceived that that's what they have to do because they believe that they're so unworthy to come to God because they've been deceived by everything that the devil is saying or the spirit of darkness is laying on them.
Of course, so easily. Of course they could be deceived. But if you're in the Word at all and he's telling you, you know, you don't pray to anyone but the Lord.
Right.
And you're saying, well, I'm not going to because I don't feel worthy to come to the Lord. I feel better going to St. Jude or to St. Peter or to Mother Mary or to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you hunker down on this, and that's because that's false humility. You're saying, I'm so humble, I can't come to God, so I'm going to pray to anybody but him.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, really. Well, doesn't even
now
sound
they
right.
Don't realize that's what's underneath it. It's false humility.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would prefer to pray to angels, which God created, instead of the one who created the angels. And it's insulting. That is very insulting to God. It's not okay. Introducing into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. What are we talking about there? The same type of people will claim to have insights into the spiritual world that God has not shown them. God has not shown them. God has not told them. But they, in their great humility, see what no one else can see and can hear what no one else can hear and get the picture?
Yeah.
And can't even talk to God.
Mm.
And so they will claim that they have these things. And this false humility is really only working to puff up the flesh.
Yes.
So they're, what's supposed to be, I'm so humble, is exactly the opposite. So they're trying all the time to get the praise and the glory that belongs to God by saying that they know all about this and know all about that, things that God has not revealed.
Yes.
And if he did, certainly not to them. Okay, verse 19.
They have lost connection with... Oops, I think there's a question.
No.
Oh, okay. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and its sinews, grows as God causes it to grow.
Okay. What is that another example of? The vine and the branches. Again, John 15. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in you, the same will bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. We are knit together to the vine. This is the vine again. Here's the head. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches, ligaments, joints, any way you want to put it. And if you're not knit together to the right thing, then what's happening?
You let it stray.
Eventually it will dry up and fall off.
Mm-hmm. I think Felicia has a question.
You have a question? No.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules?
Keep going.
Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with us, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Continue.
Keep going.
Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence.
Okay. Here we are again. Paul is driving this home. So if you died in Christ, then, and you are no a new creature in Christ, you are raised with him, you are not any longer subject to the principles of law, why are you still acting like you are, subjecting yourself to these regulations? Regulations: don't touch, don't taste, do not handle. Oh, I can't touch a pig, it's unclean, unclean. I didn't wash my hands 7 times, unclean, unclean. Get the picture?
Yeah.
Do not taste certain things that you're not allowed to eat because, oh, this was, we went to a Chinese restaurant and there was a Buddha at the front door and he was set up with fruits and things under it. This food that we're participating in has been offered to idols. I can't eat at a Chinese restaurant. What did Paul say? Say your grace.
Right.
So he said, say your grace. Give God thanks. We're done here. I'm bringing this up because the entanglements of a lot of the teaching and the church has caused many people to just say, I can't do all that. I'm out. I can't abide by these regulations and these laws that you guys are all setting up. I can't live that way. I am out. I'm a failure at this Christian walk thing.
Question.
Yes.
What's the difference between do not touch, do not do this and that, versus love your enemies as yourself, forgive those who have harmed you, you know, all of the commandments of love and all those attributes? That's another set of things to do.
Sure. But what is Jesus? What a great question, because what is Jesus coming after? He's coming after your heart, not your rituals.
Amen. Amen.
He's coming after the heart. I'm more concerned at how you treat people.
Yes.
I'm more concerned about treating people as you would want to be treated than I am about washing your hands 7 times, about kneeling 3 times a day. About your rituals. This is what's being abolished when Jesus says, this is very simple. I give you 2 commands. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your understanding, and treat your neighbor as yourself. This is it. He said, in all of that, everything else will automatically be okay. Because what pleases God is from the heart, not from, and that's as we keep going. That's what he's saying. These things indeed have the appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body. Why are you talking about neglect of the body? A lot of times it's great fasting type, you know, rituals that they're going through. I don't eat this. I don't eat that. I only eat in a 2-hour period of the day because at this time I'm breaking down and I'm, okay. Bunch of false humility and neglect of the body, but have no value against the indulgences of the flesh. What is he saying? You know what? All of your outward punishing yourself, like I said last week about, I was talking about the man in India who, and many, who will crawl on their knees all the way to the top of this hill in this temple, which is miles of crawling on your knees till they're bloody, to show God how pious they are and how true they are to their faith. Whatever God that is, because certainly not the God of heaven, but one of the 350,000 gods of India.
Yeah.
So here we have the neglect of the body. We have, you know, depriving yourself of this, depriving yourself of that, I pray for 4 straight hours, or 6. If you're praying for 4, then I do 6. If you do 6, I do 8. Mm-hmm. All of this, but what value does that have against the indulge? In other words, all these things that you're doing, and you're not even a better person. Oh, ouch. Mm-hmm. You're up at 6 a.m. reading the word. And you're not a better person. It has no power over the indulgences of the flesh. In other words, what he's after again, heart and the mind. You're still entertaining lust. You're still coveting. You're still participating in relationships that are unclean. You're still doing all of this. So all of your pious and your righteousness is just, for no effect.
No control over sin.
None.
It sounds like they're living for the future instead of the current. Like they all want to get to heaven and be judged as righteous, but they don't care about the life they're in, about the people, like you say. Like they're just trying to win without...
Well, it's false humility, so they're not even indulging, they're not even investing in heaven. They just appear to be.
Right.
They just appear to be. They do more than you do. In other words, I'm in a club all by myself because I do more than any Christians I know. Mm. I only eat fruit once a month because of the sweetness that gives me pleasure. So I'm punishing my flesh and I only eat fruit once a month. Who asked you to do any of that?
Right. Who asked you to do that?
But this is what sets you above everybody else, because you do more. You punish yourself more. It's false humility. It has no value in the kingdom of heaven or here on earth. And if you think that you're working, that these works are of righteousness that you call them are going to get you to heaven, you don't understand grace. I'm going to give you that you don't understand grace. Because otherwise, it's pride again that says, grace isn't enough for me. I'll show God I've earned this.
Worthy.
Do you hear what's under that? It's that same pride again, hiding and taking different forms. Mm-hmm. I've earned it. I fasted 90 days one time.
Sounds like a student in school trying to get the top grade without being mindful of his classmates. I mean, it's like...
Oh, they're very mindful of their classmates. Their classmates, their classmates are the bar that they're measuring themselves by.
Yeah.
That's why they have to be above that.
As a student competes with a student for the highest grade to get into college. And so it seems like... Like something to what Richard said, they are taught it isn't about the journey, it's about the destination.
Well, what we're dealing with is Paul trying to unravel this. He's trying to get these people stop listening to teachers that have taught you this garbage. Stop. You don't have to do that anymore. You're not bound by the law anymore. And that's the whole point of the message that Paul's bringing to the Colossians. Don't get caught up in worshiping angels. He's setting a standard right here and right now. And he has to keep pulling them in. You'll see that Paul is given this message over and over and over because they have to keep pulling people in, because as they come into faith, they come into places, and before you know it, people are teaching them how to be bound by laws again. And the Lord says in Matthew that people who do that, it's like you're putting a yoke around people's neck after he has set them free. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 1.
Sure. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Continue.
Keep going. One more.
set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things.
Okay. So, since you have been raised with Christ, I'm going to make sure we get every morsel. What does raised with Christ mean?
Resurrected?
We talked about it. Go ahead.
What you said earlier about having all of the spirit or the having all that, what did you say earlier? Having all that God gave Jesus, he's given us to a certain measure.
But raised with Christ, raised from Christ from the what?
Dead.
The dead.
From the dead.
The flesh.
Mm-hmm. So since you've already been raised like Christ, mm-hmm. with Christ, from the dead, this is the concept that is not as easily understood. Your salvation has already happened. You have, when Christ died and was raised from the dead, all of us were raised also. But you have to understand, this has already happened. This battle has already been won. I just have to walk it out now. I'm just mm-hmm. walking it out. But I'm already raised from the dead. Death already has no hold on me. Grave, where is your sting? Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your hold? It could not hold Jesus. It cannot hold you.
Yeah.
When you meet death here on earth, your body will go into a ground, but you will be raised. You are promised eternal life. So since you have eternal life, let's not concentrate on the junk here on earth as much as we do. We are way too focused on temporal and carnal things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So instead, put your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Don't get but so caught up. Sure, we've got to have a place to live. We've got to have food on our table. We have to have a job. We have our needs that help this body make it to that finish line. God's aware of that, but don't let that be your focus. Your number one, your everyday, that all you care about. That can't be. Let your mind be on things above, since everything you're looking at is temporal. Every table you've been at, every chair you've sat in, every home you've lived in, it's temporal. It's all going back into the earth. It'll eventually be burned up with fervent heat should it last to the end time.
Yeah.
So put your mind on things that matter. Oh, now, if you put your mind on things that matter, automatically you will live to please Christ, won't you?
Amen.
Automatically. Not because the law has a yoke around your neck. Not because, well, I can't afford doves and bulls by the end of the year, so I better not do anything wrong. That's not what should motivate us anymore. What should motivate us now is our hope, our faith, and our trust in him who has paid the price and where we're going from here. So when you see somebody and you have compassion or show compassion, that's how we're investing in things of heaven. When you are quick to forgive and slow to anger, that's how you become. These are the things these are not laws. He's telling you these things because this is the fruit. This is what you ought to look like. Not from the top 10, but because you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you should be slow to anger and quick to forgive. Does that make sense? You get it?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Keep going.
For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Continue.
Yes.
When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Anybody need clarification on that? No. We, the fact that Jesus died and was raised again, and the Bible says he is the firstborn among many brethren, which is you and I. So our life, our real life, our true life, our everlasting life is hidden with Christ in God.
So our true life, our real life, you're talking about the spirit?
Our soul, yes. Our very the essence of who we are is already been taken care of. This flesh is the only thing that's going to fall off, and then you're going to get a new body on top of that.
Hallelujah. Woo-hoo.
A new body on top of that. So when Christ is our life, who is our life, appears, we will appear with him in glory. We will be caught up to meet him in the air, and those of us who have already gone on or whatever's going on and how all of that works, we will be with him.
Yes.
And we'll appear in his glory because he's shared his inheritance with us.
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Continue?
Yes. Just finish that.
Sure. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Continue.
Yes.
Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what is he saying here? Therefore, now we just went through that you died with Christ, you're raised with him. When that happened, it's already happened. God is looking at this as a parade from the beginning to the end. He sees the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. He sees it already complete. And he's urging, Paul is trying to get us to a point where we can see that this is already over. So therefore, since we already know that we're going to share this glory, we already know what our destination is, therefore, that's why therefore is there, in other words, and because of, then put to death your members, which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, idolatry, love for money, all of these things, malice, anger, blasphemy, profanity. Put it out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds. Not do not lie to each other, because in the top 10 it says thou shalt not lie. Right? That's a law.
Yeah.
How about do not lie to each other, because that's the wrong thing to do? How about that?
Mm.
How about do not lie to each other because you don't lie to people you love? How about that?
How about that?
Mm.
And the truth.
So now what you're seeing is we have a whole new, with the new covenant that's been laid before us, we have, in other words, the new promise, the new agreement, the new contract between us and God. We're not obeying it because it's a top 10, because we're trapped under the laws of do not lie. We're obeying it because it's the right thing to do, and because his spirit within us is developing. That's what he's saying right here. We're being changed into the image of him who created us. So we're becoming more godly each day. How do we become more godly each day? You yield to the spirit that he's given you. When you feel a propensity to lie, don't. He said, this is, put it to death. Stop raising up what he's delivered you from. Make sense?
Amen.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to close here. Any questions about this? He's urging us not to raise up the old man and his deeds because he's been put to death. Your sins and that nature of yours has been nailed to a cross. Now you still have to do your part. Make a choice. He's saying make a choice. And this is the choices you ought to be making. Put away malice. Put away profanity. Put away this. Put away that. Stop that. But not because it's the laws of Moses. It's because the new person within you is growing and urging you to be more Christ-like. And you're becoming more Christ-like as you yield to his spirit. If you don't yield to his spirit, you can sit in church till you're blue, green, or any other color.
Amen.
You can rot on that bench, and you will never be changed. Mm-hmm. If you are not filled with his spirit and then yield to it. Make sense?
Yes.
Exandra had, I'm closing there. We'll take up a very interesting topic next week. Exandra had an incident that happened with her nephew, and I'm going to have her tell you about it. I'd like us to pray for that nephew and those that are enduring these kind of situations now. Exandra?
So today I was sitting in church, just ready to hear the word. And after praise and worship, I said, and the pastor began to speak. We're doing a series on the secret place and, you know, the importance of your devotion and your time with God. And mm-hmm. I get a text, and normally I don't look at my cell phone during service, but I did it this time. And it was a text from my sister, who was notifying me that my nephew, who is, I do believe, 23, was at a event at Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio, and was attacked by 5 white supremacists. He is alive. He has survived. But it choked me. It choked me right in church. And I said, I was so grateful. I was sitting in the Lord's house when I got that, because something grew in me I'd never felt before. I've been sad ever since. I posted on social media a call to action to pray, lift, honor, and love every black man on the face of the earth. As most of you know, I am close to finishing my dissertation, and 90% of what I'm studying are the struggles and the trials and tribulations that the black man has been going through since their inception. So my heart was already just full of, you know, their trials. And then to get this, it just choked me. And then being a mother of a black boy myself, you know, just I was just flooded with emotion. And so I thought about that secret place, and I had to find my secret place within me just so I could breathe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately text what I got. I mean, I got floods of texts after that, but I sent it to Miss Jeanette because mm-hmm. I just felt compelled to do that. I don't text in church, but again, I could not breathe. So we continue to struggle again in this country, you know, with hate. Mm-hmm. And so I've been praying ever since, and I'm just calling everyone to do the same. And I plan to stand in again more for African-American males and men of color in this country. Thank you.
I'm so sorry. I want whoever feels led to pray about this, don't assume that only one person is going to pray. But would somebody open us in prayer, please?
I would like to open. Father, gracious Lord,
We, your children, come before you as humbly as we can. We know your power. We know your authority. We know what we're supposed to do, Lord. But only you can end this hatred. I pray, Lord, that you would destroy the generation of haters.
Yes.
And end this repetition of lifestyle. End
yes.
it. End the generation
yes.
of hatred. Lord, let the nephew be stronger for this.
Yes.
And more women. Use this circumstance, Father,
yes.
to position nephew
yes.
so that he can be even stronger and wiser and better for
yes.
this attack. Let it not destroy his character,
yes.
his integrity, yes. his search for you, Lord. Build him to be even better and stronger because of it.
Yes.
Father, touch the nephew's mother.
Yes, Lord.
Her heart in your hands.
Yes.
That she may feel your presence and your healing and your assurance that
yes.
all will be well.
Yes, Lord.
Let us continue to be victorious.
Yes.
But Father, I pray that you would end this generation of hatred.
Yes.
And then, Lord, let us address it as saints and cast down the power and the free radicals that are all throughout the world
yes,
as
Lord.
If the enemy has been unleashed fully.
Yes.
Empower us with greater courage.
Yes,
let us use our strength and our resources, Lord,
yes.
through the Holy Spirit to squash this, to stop it, contain it and destroy it as you have at
yes.
the cross. Let us see this on this side of life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Jesus.
In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Mm.
Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
May God be the glory. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, and you know that this is one of my deep-seated struggles, Lord God.
Yes, Father.
That, Lord, I look over generations of generations of generations of people of color that has been so, in this country, not throughout the world, but just in this country, Lord God, how
yes, yeah.
the bitterness and the anger and the just hate for your humankind, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, help me with my heart and how I see and how I view things about that, Lord. But, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would help us as people of color to see ourselves differently as well. Help us, Father, to come into a closer relationship with you and become more and more like you as people of color, Lord God, that you would just fill our hearts with what needs to be filled with, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we have an adversary, and he's attacking us, and he has been attacking us for over 200-plus years in this country alone,
yes,
in every way possible, Lord. You know all of them, and you see all of them. So, Lord, we just submit to you today, Father, the pain and the anguish of all that has gone forward. What's in Alexandra's heart right now for her nephew and for those who have created
yes,
anger
Lord.
And bitterness and hate toward her nephew, Lord, and toward others that they've done. This is not the first time,
no.
Lord.
No,
you
no.
see it all. You know it all. But let our hearts not be hardened. Let our hearts, Father, seek you closer. Let us seek you for understanding and wisdom and what we can do, Father, if you want us to do anything at all. Help us, Lord, to be more accountable to you, Father, and to
yes.
our children and children's children. Help
yes.
us to be accountable, Lord, but let us speak not from our flesh, but from your spirit, as we just heard, Lord, that we embodied with your power, your spirit, your authority. But let
yes.
the Holy Spirit have its way in the people of color. Father, we've seen it, Lord. We see it. We see it, and we know you see it, and you know it. And you knew this all would happen for a purpose and for
yes.
a reason.
Yes.
So, Lord, May you get glory and honor through your people of color. May we see it different. May we live differently, Lord God. Lord, you are our shield and protector. You are our strength. So help us to be that, Father. Be that for us, Lord and God, and protect us all. I pray this all in Jesus' name, and I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, not for what has happened, Lord, but, Lord, you called us to prayer. You called us, Lord, to this moment. You knew it would happen, Lord. So we submit our souls to you and let everyone on this call and who will hear this call see differently, speak differently, live differently. Because, Lord, you are the only one can keep us safe. We have enemies on all fronts, Lord God. Oh, Lord, please have mercy. Please guide and protect me again, Lord God. Thank you for not allowing his under nephew to be, his life to be sniffed out. Yes, but, Lord, let him be restored. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, as you've heard every prayer, as I know that heaven is open and our prayers are ascending, I ask you right now to set up a standard against the works of the enemy against your people.
Yes,
and it's all people, Lord Jesus, as he doesn't care whether he's planting seeds of bitterness in one's heart and hatred in another. I ask you, Lord, to shield our hearts. I ask you that when these things happen, that our hearts do not become infected with hatred itself.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, Lord, that you set up a shield of protection against our, of protection around our children.
Yes, Father God.
These hate groups are not only focused on African Americans, they're focused on anything that they can drum up in the hate that Satan can find in their heart. So, Lord, I'm asking you to set up a hedge of protection around our children. Let the saints learn how to pray. So that we can protect our children. And you would do that, Lord, because you said that you would if we just ask.
Yes.
So we're asking you, Lord, to protect our families, protect our children. But more important, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, that there will be an awakening.
Yes.
An awakening for our children, Lord.
Yes.
So that they will know to call on your name for themselves, Lord.
Yes.
So that whether they live or they die, they belong to you.
Yes, true.
That the evil of this world has been and will always be. Until you set up a new earth and your kingdom come and your will be done. But until then, Lord Jesus, what I'm asking you is to pull our young men off the streets, Lord, and root them in you.
Please,
so that they will not be lost whether they live or they die, no matter what they encounter here on earth, whether it be cancer or a hate group, that they be rooted in you, O Lord.
Please.
Yes, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
Give us a heart, Lord, to pray that prayer.
Yes.
So that they'll be saved. There's too many of them being just drowned in the streets.
Yes.
I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, for mercy and grace.
Yes,
mercy and grace, Lord.
Please.
And stay the hand of the enemy against them.
Yes.
Because you said your children, you would grant them favor.
Yes.
So please call more of them into your kingdom.
Yes.
So they will have the favor that only you and protection that only you can offer. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, family. That was beautiful. Thank you. And I plead the blood of the Lamb over every African-American male on this call and that hears this message. May Father God protect you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
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 Have a wonderful Sunday. Amen. Any comments? Anything?
God bless everybody.
Back at it. Enjoy this beautiful day, everyone.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
week, everybody. All right. Bye-bye.